Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 24th of September. Very nice to have you with us on this day. We have a lot to talk about, as you may have gathered in just if you've been listening to Morning Edition or just have been paying attention to the world for the last 12 hours. We have a lot to talk about. Let me introduce everybody and then we'll get started. We welcome your letters this morning, as always, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. That will get your letter to us, and we will be ready to go. Mike Spain is here, former TU associate editor. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Beautiful day out there.
It is. It is. A stormy night, beautiful day. All's good. All right. We also welcome investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo to the program. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Very nice to... Oh. Everyone's coming in. Let me introduce J.P. Miller, who is seated and in front of a microphone. Good morning, J.P.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. And Libby Post is back. She is here, political consultant, and with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And WAMC's Alan Chartok. Hey, Alan.
Here, down at the end of the road.
All right. All good. Reminder, the lockbox is open. We need you. We have work to do, as you know. The lockbox is, we hope to make half the money before we even start. It's $500,000 is our goal. We have about $125,000 in there, which leaves about $375,000 over the next 3 weeks and 6 days.
Now, we only opened the lockbox yesterday, and the money is coming pouring in, but we don't really know because a lot of people mail it at 318
yeah.
Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206, right? Or they call it in. So by tomorrow we'll know how we're doing. We're doing pretty well right now, don't get me wrong, but I have the sense that, Joe, wouldn't it be great if just for once everybody understood how important this radio station is, and whether it's $5 or $100 or $10,000, you know, whatever you can do, do it. Because, look, it's Trump, for goodness sake.
$375,000 to go, and we can do it. All you have to do to pledge online is WAMC.org, WAMC.org. You can also give us a call. It's 1-800-323-9262, and don't worry, we'll be reminding you throughout the broadcast this morning and throughout the day. So, important work that needs to be done. Also important work that needs to be done, let's try to figure out what's going on in our world. There is a lot. There's a lot happening, and let's get to it. The two big stories that broke overnight. One is that, according to the Supreme Court in the UK, Boris Johnson illegally suspended Parliament. We'll get to that story in a little bit. But first, the other big story to break from the New York Times is Trump has said to have frozen aid to Ukraine before a call with its leaders. The revelation came as leading congressional Democrats demanded that the administration turn over documentation about the matter, and calls for impeachment continue to grow. A huge article in the New York Times this morning by, I think I counted... See, there's four major reporters,
I think there is seven working on the story.
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ten.
Wow.
So maybe it's a big deal.
They're throwing their resources at what they obviously perceive as a major, major, major story.
So President Trump personally ordered his staff to freeze more than $391 million in aid to Ukraine in the days before he pressed the new Ukrainian president to investigate the Democrats' leading presidential candidate. Two senior administration officials are the sources for this. Mr. Trump issued his directive to Mick Mulvaney, the acting White House chief of staff, who conveyed it through the budget office to the Pentagon and the State Department. They were told only that the administration was looking at whether the spending was necessary. The timing of the decision to block the aid and Mr. Trump's personal involvement, which were first reported by the Washington Post, add vital new elements to the raging debate over the president's effort to persuade Ukraine to examine corruption allegations, including former Vice President Joseph Biden and his son Hunter. The revelation came as leading congressional Democrats demanded that the administration turn over documentation about the matter, even before news of Mr. Trump's involvement in freezing the aid. A flood of Democrats had said that the president's actions could warrant impeachment. Again, that from the New York Times in their major piece that broke overnight. And they also have an interesting, we can get into impeachment in a second, but just the numbers of the House, 143 members now support an impeachment inquiry, up sharply from just 2 weeks ago.
143 out of?
Well, 143, 83 who are on the fence, and 207 awaiting response. You need what, 223? Is that the number? Is that the magic number?
Isn't it the 441 that's in there? Isn't that the number?
435.
Well, the 435 in the House of Representatives.
Okay.
Yeah, but my number was the, what was the number that they needed to get?
To get the majority of the Democrats.
If you were going to move on articles of impeachment, that you would able to ensure a vote.
Yes.
A pass vote. Okay, but before we get to impeachment, before we put that that cart before a Ukrainian horse, let's talk about what happened here with the president and what this new revelation means.
The question is it enough? Can I just deviate from your instructions as to what we should be talking about a little bit? Because I can't get away from the, Joe, from the putting myself in the place of a Republican senator right now. This has got to be very tough. And we know that because Marco Rubio said he didn't like it, of all things. So we have what?
Marco Rubio has changed his mind about Trump and his policies off and on for the past 2 years.
No, I got it. But it just, all I'm saying, Rosemary, and I have great respect for you and what you're saying here, is that you have to understand that when they go that far to say, I don't like this that much, even if they're going to change back and forth and do the rest of it, it indicates that there's some real trouble in paradise for him.
I wish that you were right. I just don't see Rubio as the hallmark of that. When the senator from, say, Wyoming or South Dakota comes out and says, I don't like it, then I'll see to you.
Except that Florida is a swing state.
And Rosemary, what do they got to be thinking right now, those guys who are from, quote, safe districts, so-called safe districts? This could turn out to be a realigning election. We have realigning elections every once in a while. And what that means is something flips. And it could be the United States Senate is about to flip. And I think they know it. And where are they going to go? If they oppose Trump and say he shouldn't have done it, does that assure them that they're going to get reelected? It does not, of course, because the Democrat will win in any case then. So if they pull out, if they turn around on Trump, they lose automatically. And if they don't, they lose too.
It's the continuation of the realignment that started in 2018 with flipping the House. This is just a continuation of that, which was a bigger flip than we saw when right after Nixon and Watergate. And so I think that the Republican senators in those swing states have a lot to be worried about.
Yeah.
The purple states, they have a lot to be worried about. And, you know, well, time will tell. But I think you're probably right about this one.
Well, look, the New York Times didn't put 10 reporters on it for no reason at all. They did it because obviously they think they sense real vulnerability here. Now I'm going to tick you all off. I'm not so sure. In other words, I'm not so sure it's enough.
I don't think it is.
You don't, Rosemary.
No, I don't. I think the Trump propaganda and spin machine is in full operation, and we have seen this happen before. And you already noticed Schumer came out finally. We talked yesterday about how he hadn't. He came out. What did he say? I want answers. That's all he did. And now we'll wait until after we hear on Thursday. You don't think they're prepping for Thursday? I think it's going to be another spin and confuse, and I I just don't see this.
But that's been going on since he took office.
Correct. And it's going to continue
effective.
To go
but,
on.
Yeah,
but it's been going on since then, but we flipped the House in 2018.
When you say we, you, of course, mean you. You don't
well,
mean me.
I don't mean
the
me.
Democrats.
The Democrats.
I'm not
Democrats.
A Democrat. I'm an independent.
Okay. But the House flipped in 2018 as a response to the way Trump governs.
Okay,
I'm with Rosemary on this. He's already effectively
no, you
got the alternate scenario.
We're all talking about Biden. We're all talking about Biden, which
Rosemary
is exactly
just
what he wants.
With me.
So I, okay, then I agree with Alan, with whom also Rosemary agreed.
I agreed with you. I agreed with the second part. I don't think Rubio saying anything Rubio says makes absolutely no
He's
difference
He's a Republican senator.
He's a Republican senator who is completely wishy-washy, as many of them are. Like I say, when I see a rock-solid Republican say, I
who's up for election
bad.
Next
who's
year.
Who's up for election, yeah. Who really puts it on the line, then I'll say something. And as for the Democrats, oh, yeah, the urge for impeachment has increased. Why has it not been a flood? Why aren't we seeing 10 Democrats at a time turning over like we are?
But,
why is it a big deal that the New York Times is putting 10 reporters on? This the story is breaking a mile a minute. Of course they've got everybody.
But how about
it.
The seven? But, how about the seven freshman congressmen who were?
Nice start. We need like 25 more,
Joe,
and they're all waiting
thought,
until
Tara,
Thursday.
I mean,
well, the seven freshman congressmen who congressional members who had said that they were not on the impeachment train wrote a op-ed in the Washington Post saying it is time. But I mean, that seems to be opening some sort of floodgate.
There's something else, another floodgate that's being opened, I think, here, and that is. We are seeing more people telling on the president. We are seeing more leaks. And this kind of thing can only grow in depth and numbers of people who say, well, we're getting closer to the end. So all of a sudden, people are talking to the Times. People are talking to the Washington Post, telling them stuff that they weren't telling them before. And while this may not be enough, It's
again, Alan, again, this is not anything new. The leaks have been happening since day one in the White House. You remember there were all the stories in the New York Times about how he was wandering around, didn't know where the light switches were.
But this
that
is a
came
hell of
from
a,
leaks.
But this is a hell of a leak.
Yeah, well, it is, but that's because he's just done it now.
Because
everything he's done has been leaked.
Because it's potential treason. That's why.
But the other difference, too, of this point being made yesterday, that instead of saying no collusion, saying, yeah, so what? Yeah, that was collusion, but so what?
Oh, listen, it's incredibly, can I say ballsy on the radio?
Sure.
It's incredibly ballsy that he was doing this. Yes. That he was doing this.
The day after.
The day after he kind of wiggles out of the Mueller report, which clearly says he was turning to the Russians for help in his
election. He was emboldened by that. When Mueller testified
go.
And it kind of fell flat, it didn't give the smoking gun that the Democrats were looking for. He calls the Ukraine president the next day and plays hardball with him about now he's very you know going back to the previous point I think he already has fogged this up as some describe it. He has already muddied the waters on this. He has this false equivalence with what Biden and his son had with Ukraine and aid to Ukraine and his son's involvement, even though there's no evidence that there was any illegal activity or any wrongdoing. It is so confusing to the guy on the street that he thinks, oh, well, Democrats did the same thing. Now they're going after him for it. Period.
Yes. And I have to say, and I said it yesterday, and I know it's not going to be popular, but what the hell was young Biden doing over there in the first place?
I completely agree. That was tone deaf. I mean, the optics of that are horrible, and it's coming home to roost. It just shows, I mean, Biden should have said to his son, look— Don't do it.
Don't do it because would you rather have me as president of the United States or not? Forget about any other reason.
And I think that we're talking. There are really two separate issues to talk about here. One is will this cause Trump to be impeached? And I think that this is right now is the highest probability Trump has ever experienced, where he could get not only impeached but also have the Senate ratify. I think there will be Republican senators that would vote to impeach him right now, knowing what we know. There's a separate issue of, will he get reelected? Say he doesn't get impeached, will he get reelected? That's a tougher question. You know, he is good at messaging. He is good at muddying the waters. He is good at, you know, getting lucky. And the thing that I think we're asking about Hunter Biden is you know, will he be vindicated if Hunter Biden is found to have done something wrong with Ukraine? Will he be vindicated or not?
He's not going to be. This is something that's been asked, investigated, settled. It's just, but he, every time, look at the messaging. It was just astounding this Sunday when all of his surrogates were on talk shows. And whatever the question was, it was Biden did wrong. That was right in their answer.
That Biden was criminal.
Biden
and
was
corrupt.
Criminal. What right. was the real issue here is, what we really should be looking
and not
at.
The young Biden.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Father Biden.
I know,
Father
and
Biden.
That's what's yes, so exactly. amazing, because the Father Biden was just pursuing America's foreign policy.
No.
And what I would like to point out, though, we have to be fair here, is Fox News, their news anchor yesterday said, this is baloney. Hunter and Elder Biden did nothing. This is a story about Trump. It was very cool.
What Fox News. Can I ask a question that has intrigued me, because I haven't seen anything and I've been looking for it, but also in this weird timing, Mike mentioned the timing as far as, or both Rosemary and Mike mentioned the timing as far as right after Mueller testifies right. that he, I think ballsy was the term.
Well, he made the phone call, but he actually was apparently stopping the payment while Mueller was doing this. While we didn't know what was going to
happen.
But
also in this time is when Dan Coats left.
Yep.
Now, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. You have the director of National Intelligence, as all of this is brewing, walks out the door.
And the ambassador to the Ukraine.
And the ambassador. I mean,
and the ambassador to Russia.
Could Coates possibly be the partisan spy that Trump speaks of?
Wouldn't that be nice?
In a position to know and
I think there
vengeful.
Many of them are in a position to know. Many of the people who left are in positions to know.
But
I mean, Mattis, it was around the same
Mattis
time,
Mattis would
too.
Never do it.
And
no.
you think none
never.
Of those guys
Mealy
would
Mealy
Mouth
Bookie wrote, no. there's no way he's
And none of those guys would tell the truth. You think at this stage of the game there wouldn't be a leak? There wouldn't be.
Well, I think there is, yeah. right?
I mean, no, yeah. I mean the people we're talking about, the people who left, that why they left and how they left.
If they were called to testify in a Senate trial, impeachment trial, could they decline? Of course not. They'd be under enormous pressure to be.
They don't have to because Trump would just forbid them to speak, and they wouldn't. We're seeing that too.
That's right, Rosemary.
Does the president have to testify? Is he called to testify during a Senate trial for impeachment?
Well, we know that norms would suggest mm-hmm. otherwise, but that in fact they
norms.
Would say norms.
Whatever those are.
Whatever who he is, Norm.
But also the potential whistleblowers for
20
them,
seconds. Go ahead.
For them to have to do that, they are basically going to go through a public battle with Donald Trump, which is you can talk to people that have done public battles with him. One of the most unpleasant things that a human being could endure for them and their families. So the fact that they didn't come out, I think that this whistleblower is showing that. That someone is watching.
We have today. No.
There are lots of ways.
We'll be
to
right
come
back.
Out.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. We welcome you, Alan Chartok, Libby Post. We have JP Miller, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, Alan has letters. Let's go there.
What a crew we have. Okay, so John says, why all the calls for a, quote, transcript of Trump's phone call without any description of how a transcript can possibly be assured as what was actually said? John in Deerfield.
I think it's team. They want the transcript and the whistleblower's complaint.
Right.
So they can compare them, which
and then
makes
the,
sense.
The president said... We'll give you the.
I'd love to give it to you. I'd love to give it to you.
I'd love to give it to you. And then Pompeo mm-hmm. came over to talk to him, and then he said, but you can't see it.
It's so amazing that he breaks from protocol every single time he deals with a foreign leader or anything else for that matter. But he's sticking to it now because it's important.
Well, yeah. He just has to wait till the audit is through, and then he can give it to us.
Yeah, right. Yesterday there was that thing with Mnuchin. Mnuchin, who always is smiling, by the way.
Yeah, is that a smile or more of a...
No, it's a
like
smile.
A
it's
grit of teeth.
A gas-induced smirk.
Thing. And then they were all sitting around, Wilbur Ross and everybody else, and I don't remember the issue, but they started to fight with each other. he said, no, I don't, you know, there was a discussion going on as to whether we should do this or that. Anyway, George says, can you please enlighten us on some nuances of impeachment? One, is the impeachment process constrained by the concept of double jeopardy? No. Obviously not, because it's not a criminal proceeding.
It's a political process.
This is Alan speaking. Consider the scenario. The president is impeached and then acquitted before the 2020 election. If he's reelected with the Democrats in control of both houses, can he be impeached again and tried on the same articles of impeachment he was acquitted of? Clearly, yes. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they can do it again and they can change the terminology or whatever else. But sure.
But that's exactly what Nancy Pelosi has been worried about, that they bring the proceedings.
Yeah, if you do it more than that.
He's cleared, and I'm doing that in air quotes, by the Senate, which doesn't—
Completely exonerated.
And then you can hear the words coming out of his mouth.
Which
right
is why—
now. See? Complete clearance.
That's right. Which is why timing in this is everything.
Yes.
In other words, if you time the impeachment so that it gets closer and closer to the election, mm-hmm. you're better off.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if the trial was actually after the November election? And then Republican senators would be free to do anything they want.
Oh, that's right.
They can knock him out. Even if he loses the election, they could hold the vote and knock him out even before then.
Well,
Pence for a couple weeks.
I disagree a little bit, Alan, on the timing. I would say that if they drag it out, then the entire election is going to be about the Ukraine issue and Hunter Biden and Donald Trump on this phone call. Is that the best issue for the Democrats to be running on? If I were trying to get rid of him,
well,
I would do
it. Well, it's also not as much of an issue if Biden isn't the candidate.
Right.
Well, that's
true. Right, but whether Biden is the candidate or not, he's going to be attacking Biden and Hillary Clinton, even if it's Elizabeth Warren as the candidate. But
in the same sentence.
Do you want the issue to be the Russia, the Ukraine thing, or do you want to try and impeach him very quickly and then have an election about the issues you want to talk about?
JP, what are the issues that the Democrats are strong on and should be running
on? Well, Health care. And, you know,
that's a challenge.
I mean, you know what they are. You just don't think they're doing it, right?
And I don't think they're doing it.
Also, wealth inequality. You know, Trump makes the illegal immigrants the boogeyman of the middle class, mm-hmm. and the Democrats need to make billionaires the boogeyman mm-hmm. of the middle class.
Elizabeth, but no matter what happens, he will go back to Hunter Biden. So, in other words, you could do all those things you're just talking about, JP. And he'll go back and again and again and again, because that's where his—I hate to use this word, but I will modify it—his evil brilliance comes in. He knows how to play it. You got 67% of the people saying, we don't like this guy. We don't like him. But the question is what you do to the opponent, if there is an opponent, if there's Elizabeth Warren, if there's Biden, you could just see it coming. You saw Pocahontas with Elizabeth Warren. He's left that alone for a while. Mm-hmm. But he'll resurrect that. He'll do it again. Because if it works for that base, it'll work.
But it's about securing, affirming, and growing his base. That's the way he's mm-hmm. going to win the election if he wins. Yeah.
Yeah, I got my doubts.
But why not go for the impeachment now and quick and try and get some Republican senators to vote for it?
Or just let it drag out and be drip.
Because, yes, I get that, Mike. I think you're right. I think Rosemary's point is well taken. You don't want to do it twice. And by the way, there are more and more people coming out with stuff.
Right.
And that, you know, this seems to be an important one, but there can be worse. And there will be worse.
I also think that this specific one, there's not as much dripping because everybody knows that he did it. He's admitted that he's done it. And
Access Hollywood.
That's what I think.
Words out of his mouth. You saw him saying it and doing it. Nothing happened.
The one thing he has not acknowledged, and the New York Times story today is about that, is that he will say, I never brought up the $250 mm-hmm. million dollars in aid during the conversation. You don't need to bring it up. It's right on the table. It's right out there like the elephant in the room. President of Ukraine knew it. And when he's badgering him about going after Joe Biden and Biden's son in that phone call back in July, he doesn't have to mention it. So he can say, I never even brought up the aid. It had nothing to do with it.
But that's why the story from the New York Times last night was so important.
It is exactly why.
Before the phone call, he absolutely held it up. So there it is. You're right. It doesn't have to have been brought up.
Well, you say there it is, but so what?
Well, that's it. There's an article.
No proof.
There's
no
line proof. In this Times investigation that says, quote, privately, some Democrats and their aides were more cautious, fretting that the transcript of the July call would not be as damning as billed. They worried that the anticipation of its disclosure was replicating the dynamic that surrounded the Mueller report.
Yep.
Even if it was damning,
my question would be, would it matter? In other words, this information, when it comes out about Trump, matter because he just says the opposite, or he confuses the issue, or he inserts something else into it?
Well, that depends on the Republicans other than Mitt Romney,
stop,
right?
Stop. They're not going to do it. I tried very hard to explain in the beginning. They have no options.
They have no gain.
Well,
by
no.
Going
but I'm options. Saying, but you were saying, but what you were just saying is that it wouldn't make a difference. And yeah, I mean, it would only make a difference if they turned, and they're not going to. Right.
So could there be worse? Could there be a Baker moment, for example, in Nixon, in which people say this is just too much for me to stomach? So far, it hasn't happened.
No, I think that is our mistake. That
Fifth
we have
Avenue
been
this, with a gun.
We've been waiting for the Nixon moment, and everything has changed. The media landscape has changed since the Nixon years. Trump is not Nixon. He does not care about upholding constitutional norms. Nixon did. It's completely different. It will not happen.
It's different, all right. But I'm saying there can come a moment when something that this guy has done is so dangerous.
Daydreaming, Alan.
Well, I'm not done finishing my sentence. So despicable, so awful, that people will not be able to go along with it.
It almost reminds me,
you're talking about the Senate will not be able to go along with it.
Yeah.
The people in general are not going along with this.
Well,
and we'll see that in November.
Next November.
The problem with that analysis is...
That it all depends on who the opponent is.
I get that, but I also think that there are enough people in this country that don't want him to be president, that don't like him, that there is a groundswell of anybody but Trump, vote for whoever the Democratic nominee is. And I think that we might just see that. And I don't think the Democrats are going to put up somebody who can't win. Whether it's Biden at this point, I don't know, and I'm going more to the doubtful side of this.
And who is it that you got your eye on?
Well, Elizabeth Warren is rising in the polls. She is, but the misogyny factor again. You know, whether or not this country is ready to elect a woman. So you got to look at some of the other folks.
Like who?
These are liberal daydreams going on here. I think Bill Maher had it right. He said, look, if it's Biden and he's like, he leaves his pants off and he's got crumbs in his hair, vote for him.
Well,
do not vote
true.
For Trump.
I mean, I'd be
he's
fine
right.
with that. I would be fine with that. You know, I'm
he's,
not saying,
he's,
but,
there's
if he, but if he ends up not being the nominee for whatever reason, okay?
Who?
Who?
Biden. Trump? Oh, Biden? Trump?
Yeah, Biden. Biden.
Yeah.
You know, from the way I'm looking at it, with Chris Churchill, and we talked about this yesterday, may
wow.
have it right. This is an opportunity for the governor of New York to step in.
The White Knight.
Yeah. I mean, and,
Fredo.
As Trump called him yesterday, right?
Brother.
He called Chris Fredo.
Oh, that's
yesterday.
Right.
Brother
yeah.
Fredo, I said.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
You know, and so... We were all sitting here, and it's all about conjecture because we don't know what's going to happen. It's just our own educated guesses about what is going to happen. But we all know that what needs to happen, and that is that he needs to be defeated.
All right. Let's go back to letters, and then we'll take a break.
Okay. So, is the impeachment process constrained by the concept of double jeopardy? No. Consider this scenario. We did that, too. If the president is impeached and then acquitted but not reelected, can he be tried in a criminal court for the same trespass in the articles of impeachment, or does double jeopardy? Forget that. Of course he can be. One is a criminal case.
But he's got other criminal problems, you know, with taxes and
yeah, no, no, but he can be.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he can
yeah.
be. There's no question about that. Please, ladies and gentlemen, don't confuse the political process known
with
as
facts.
Impeachment with a criminal process, because it's not the same thing, ever. 3, if a president is impeached, must the Senate try him or her? No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
That's the tough thing.
I mean, that's the tough thing.
Right.
Because
if
they were forced to take a vote, I think you'd see a lot of Republicans voting for impeachment. But because they won't be forced to vote, they're going to say,
And also timing. It's
Mitch's fault.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to weigh in, but our leader won't let this come to the floor. Yeah, mm-hmm. You'll hear that.
Yeah.
Aside, if impeached,
and
the president is acquitted by the Senate before the 2020 election, might that make it harder for the Republicans to keep control of the Senate? Yes, it might. Yes, it might. And then again, it might not. Never know. Okay, that's enough of that one. Okay. And this was from Jim. If Trump is impeached, the Dems need a strong leader in the Senate, and Schumer is not the one. For some reason, when it comes to Trump, he is compromised and must be replaced. Sideline, et cetera, from Jim.
I'd like to ask a question. Why has Chuck Schumer not said he would vote for impeachment? Why? He's the leader of the Democrats in the United States Senate, and he's silent. So why is he silent?
Don't you think he's trying not to look like he's Trump's biggest adversary, and he's trying to be able to have a compromise on something that he wants
Why
to happen?
Shouldn't he be? Why shouldn't he be Trump's greatest adversary?
You can disagree with his tactics, but he does need Trump to get funding for the tunnel under the Hudson River, you know, which is so important. It was about to happen before Trump came.
He loves his Israel policy, loves his policy on China, trade with China. It does sound like a Ben Sasse kind of thing. He's in Trump's camp. I don't like
Ooh,
it.
Schumer? The idea of Schumer in Trump's camp, that's a little strong.
Yeah.
Come on.
Everybody agrees that you have to do something firm with China. What we're doing may not be the effective thing, but people do agree that China's trade policies have been unfair and need to be checked.
All right. We need to take a break. We'll pause there, and we will be back with more. We'll have letters and other topics to discuss right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 24th of September. Alan Chartok, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain make up the group.
What a crowd.
Quite a crowd. Good group. We have letters as well. Let's go to those.
Okay. Chris from Albany says, the Democrats have to develop a muscle for attempting things that entail risks, specifically regarding impeachment, but also generally regarding policies and politics. Thanks, as always. Chris from Albany. All right, and moving right along.
All right.
Kevin says, impeachment. So let me get this straight. If Clinton was elected, Republicans said she would be impeached for her emails. The Democrats won't impeach after 3 years of Trump's dumpster fire presidency. Three question marks. Come on already. Force the Republicans to put party over country by not voting to impeach in the Senate. And that's from Kevin. And Kevin, how exactly do you force them to do that? Okay.
Wow, the Republicans are hypocritical. That's insightful.
Yeah, and they
haven't seen that before.
And,
and
all you have to do is put yourself in their spot and say, right, what would you do if you were a self-serving Republican who did not want to lose your seat in the United States Senate? What would you do? And, you know, would you be a John Kennedy-like profile in courage and do the right thing? Or would you just go along until that moment when you can't go along anymore? I did mention, by the way, I know we got into a fight, Rosemary, over this, but I did mention the Nixon thing before, because the big difference, by the way, was the tapes. But the fact that there was, you know, that the Republicans now knew that the game was up, and it was up for them. Okay. For when it was where John says, I don't want impeachment. I want indictments. I get it. I want every single legal violation that Trump and his kids have done blared out of every TV. I want him up on charges for every law he's violated. Let's start with insider trading. Every time Trump throws a Twitter tantrum that shifts the markets, what was Trump doing in the stock markets? Got to prove it, folks. Got to prove it. And then finally here, Washington Post says, Sean, who loves the panel from Cambridge, just informing the panel about something you spoke about for 30 minutes yesterday, Washington Post said the whistleblower has second-hand information. They did not hear it firsthand. How much credibility is hearsay? Thank you. Love the panel. Sean from Cambridge.
I hadn't heard that.
I'm not familiar with that. There's more than one incident. They've been talking about that. Mm-hmm. So the whistleblower complaint involves putting together pieces of the puzzle. So he might have heard the conversation and then put it together. It might be the Mulvaney stuff, you know, that Mulvaney tried to stop the payments to. I don't think that means.
But there lies the problem here. It gets a little complicated. It's not a soundbite, and Trump can.
Let us remember that the inspector general, who has access to everything, including the identity of the whistleblower, saw it and said not only that it was important, but that it was urgent.
Concerning.
So there's there's the Congress needs to see it. And that's the bottom line.
Well, let me ask this. If Congress sees it, would it be made public automatically?
No,
it would be
definitely
sealed?
Not.
Right. So if this transcript is handed over on Thursday, it will not be made public.
No, the president was just at the UN, and his statement to the press as he walked in was that he would hope, I know this means nothing, but that he would hope that the transcript would be made public soon.
Of course, he
or
would.
Or a summary or something.
But his
version of the
summary. Barr will write it.
Yeah, Barr will write
that. But here's the other thing: the Republicans are not wrong in saying that if it goes to Congress, it will leak. I mean, Adam Schiff would be on Rachel Maddow that night talking about it, and they're right about that.
So.
So that's their excuse for not turning it over. That
that's not the issue. The issue is it the law that they have to turn it over?
Well, and if it's it the is, law, they have to turn over the tax records, too.
That's right. So that's
where
right.
Did that?
So, okay, let's assume that Schiff and the others say, you got to give us this information. It's the law. And the president says, you know, screw off. We're not giving it to you.
That sounds like him.
We're with you.
Then what do you do? What do you do?
I think that there has to be a legal maneuver. Somebody has to go to federal court and demand an expedited Supreme Court review of this. Because if it goes before the Supreme Court, it needs to happen quickly and swiftly. Because if he denies this, this is just the latest in several instances where he has broken the law, evidently, and refused to give up documents. And then it needs to go to the Supreme Court.
And now you've put your finger right on it, Mike.
Right.
What if the toadies on the Supreme Court, sorry for those of you who don't like this kind of language, decide that we're not going to accept the case right now, or we have to see it go on its legal?
I think John Roberts knows the importance of expediting this and accepting the case, and I think it would be 5-4 in favor of the Congress and require. I think it would be another Nixon tapes thing. I mean, I'm hopeful, and maybe it's pie in the sky, but I think that's what needs to happen.
If you've got $5, I do too.
Okay, you got it.
Libby, there's your idea that we have all this hope in John Roberts, who is not a reliable liberal or Democrat.
No, he's not a reliable liberal.
He is a pragmatic. He's an excellent jurist. You see this court.
He cares about the court.
Yeah, they affirmed gay marriage. They affirmed Obamacare. This is not a right-wing court.
Right. Well. No. Gay marriage and Obamacare, you still had Anthony Kennedy there. Okay.
Yeah.
And he was the swing. He's gone. We have another story on October
8th. That's huge.
This court is going to decide on whether or not it's legal to fire LGBT people
just because they're gay.
Just because they're lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. We're all very, very nervous. You know, we did put so much emphasis on marriage and thought, okay, well, once marriage is done, all this other stuff will fall into line because it just makes sense. And so, but now we're in this point where we've got this administration, we've got this court, and they may very well say that sexual orientation is not the basis for sex discrimination that they talk about in the case that they're dealing
well,
with.
Well, I mean,
the law
what,
they're dealing with.
What it would check is whether the 1964 Civil Rights Act would
cover
LGBT
people. Because it covers sex. And it's
a matter of sex.
Right. It's a matter of sex. But is it a matter of sex, the verb, or matter of sex, the noun?
Yeah.
And I think that's the hair they're going to split.
You'd have to go to a private school to know the difference.
Right. I mean, so it's going to be very very consequential for the community. There are people getting fired every single day because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And, you know, when people in New York think, really, that happens? Well, go to the by mail. Right. Go to the breadbasket. Go to any state in the middle of the nation. And yes, it's happening. If there are no protections, people are getting fired just because of their sexual orientation and gender identity. And it is, it's a drain. I mean, the other part of this is Fortune 500 companies are saying, just do the right thing, Supreme Court. Protect these people. They're good employees. They're part of the creative community. They drive the economy.
Even some of the leaders in the Pentagon have said that.
Yeah. It's.
Don't you think that the Supreme Court will decide the way that you would like them to decide?
I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping that John Roberts does the right thing. But I don't know. You know, he was on the other side for marriage. So, it was Anthony Kennedy who did the marriage decision. These folks still, these five still have some very conservative personal politics. And it comes to bear.
And bringing it back to corruption and sons and fathers, Anthony Kennedy, why did he get off the court? And
right,
what was his son at Deutsche Bank doing?
Right, right.
We never
right,
got
right.
it to the bottom of that.
Right, absolutely.
That trumps Hunter and Joe Biden to me.
Well, Jared Kushner, Ivanka, all of it trumps. Geez. Joe Biden and Hunter.
You should come up with another verb.
Yeah, I think we need another verb. Get rid of Trumps, All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We have many other items to discuss. We haven't even gotten to Boris Johnson yet, and we'll talk about that. a busy news day. We'll be back. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We have Alan Chartok, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Hermeo, and Mike Spade. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine.
I didn't really forget your name. I was just watching everything go on here during the break. All right. We have letters. We'll get Alan in to read letters. Where's Alan? Hey, Alan. Hello. Come on.
There
Hi, Alan. We need you to read letters. All right. And we will we'll go to that, and then we'll move on to other stuff.
Good.
All right.
Great. Wonderful. This is all good, isn't it? Okay. So here we go. Frank says, treason? Question for Alan. Trump's actions with respect to Ukraine are inarguably deplorable, but I don't see them as treasonous. Could you expand your view? No. Okay. Mike says, yes to criminal prosecution. Question, can Trump be prosecuted for crimes if he is impeached? Answer, Alan is correct. Trump can be. Gerald Ford issued a full pardon for Richard Nixon, thus barring any attempt at criminal prosecution. That's right. Of course he can be tried for crimes if he's impeached. Okay. Anybody disagree with that? No.
No, it's two separate things. Yeah.
George says, panel, dear Alan, just put me down as a diehard impeachment skeptic. I can't imagine a smoking gun so hot as to get the Senate to convict. Well, maybe he's shooting someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue, but ... I think impeachment will juice up both Democrat and Republican voters during the process. What makes me fearful is what I think happens after the impeachment attempt fails. I think Republicans will be super juiced up and motivated to avenge Trump at the polls. I think Democrats will, having lost, be disheartened and demotivated, etc. I'm talking about overall and on average, individual results may vary. Let's keep the drumbeat on impeachment offenses, but keep our powder dry until the first Tuesday in November in 2020. And that's from George.
All right.
All right. Anybody want to react to that?
I'd like the viewpoint that the Constitution is not about political process. Congress, we keep saying, do your job. Their job here is really getting clearer and clearer.
Okay. And then Mark says, impeachment, are you people off your rockers? Are you probably? Are you not yet embarrassed with your constantly feeble attempts to come up with dirt on this president? Biden is a crook. His son is a beneficiary of Biden's crookery, as the kids of many politicians. Hillary is a crook, and even Obama was no good. Trump, once again, has done nothing wrong.
Well,
those are the talking points. Those are the talking points. Yeah, they're very effectively articulated.
Thank goodness. I go to work late once in a while, so I don't listen to this. I don't know if I'm allowed to read that word, the C word, too often. But I can't help commenting when I do. Right. And yes, you do, and I have those letters to prove it. Okay, and then Paul says, I agree with Rosemary. In spite of the excitement around the latest allegations against Trump, I agree with Rosemary. This is just what should be an impeachable slash criminal offense against one of the most offensive people in modern U.S. history. But hear me, it ain't gonna happen. If the Mueller report didn't move the Republicans one iota, neither will this. Wake up to reality, panel, and that's from Paul. And the alternative, Paul, is? Yeah, okay. Not waking up. Okay, Trump says, Tim, no matter what happens to Trump or his family, the bigger problems, as I see it, is that the table now has been set. Any Trump type can get elected and do whatever they want to enrich themselves without any care of prosecution, and that's Tim. You know what? I don't agree with that. I think what's going to happen is Trump's going to get out of office, and I think that the Congress is going to be licking its wounds and is going to pass all kinds of things which would take norms and make them into laws. You can't do this.
Is anyone taking seriously the contention that he, if he lost, would stay in office? Slate has been writing about this a lot. Do you believe that or no?
I don't believe it.
I don't think
that's just hysteria.
No. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's hysteria is a good word for it. Yeah.
You know, once they leave for the inaugural of the new president, the staff comes in and starts packing up.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, I agree. On the other hand, let's assume, you know, I agree with everybody who's just checked in on this, but let's assume for a second that Trump knows that the chances of being convicted of a felony are great if he leaves office.
Well, somebody wrote, because I was reading some of the letters before, somebody wrote in that he will resign at some point, knowing that he could go to jail. Pence will become president, and Pence will pardon him.
I don't see him giving up. But.
Well, if I mean, under that scenario, Trump could lose the election in November of next year. He could resign after that, before the first of the year, and then Pence would have the authority to do just that.
Well, that's, there's some real interesting stuff going on. Maybe some of you can tell me more about it with Paul Manafort, that lawyers that supported him are now being recruited by the Trump legal team. To deal with this stuff in Ukraine. And, you know, Paul Manafort was involved in Ukraine. He was the first of the Trumpers to be involved.
Could you go a little further with that?
No, I can't. It's just
beginning.
Well, it's not
unusual. I just read, a line about it, but nothing.
Manafort had probably the money to hire some of the best lawyers who knew international law and knew how to deal with Ukraine, and now Trump needs that same expertise. Right. I mean, that's one plausible reason.
All right, let's go to the story about Boris Johnson, the other major story from overnight as to what happened there. The Supreme Court in the United Kingdom has ruled that what Boris Johnson was trying to do in closing down Parliament for a bit and going to the Queen. Apparently, from my understanding of this, it was the actual issue of lying to the Queen, but that he illegally suspended Parliament. And according to... Where is it? Yes. According to the New York Times, in a major blow to the Prime Minister, the court ruled that Parliament is still in session. It will resume its Brexit debate on Wednesday. We should note that Boris Johnson is in New York City at the moment for the UN meeting and is maybe expected to be back tomorrow to go back to the UK to address a, quite frankly, angry party.
The British are so colorful, aren't they? Lying to the Queen, that's so quaint. And then pierogi, like a Polish dinner, their parliament. Oh, my goodness. So it looks like he's going to be voted out. That seems like the most likely thing. He's the shortest.
Or he resigns.
Or resigns, he's out. But that's the question.
I'm so behind the eight ball here. Will somebody explain a little bit more about this? Why would he either be kicked out or resign?
Because it was unlawful for what he did.
It's an impeachable offense if he was in the United States.
For illegally suspending Parliament.
You think his own people are going to vote him out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're saying they're going to.
He's been totally ineffective and brought more chaos to the English government than has been in a very, very long time, since Mad King George V.
They have less tolerance for chaos than we do.
They tolerate a lot of chaos.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, Andy Borowitz has a piece saying that even Boris Johnson's dog resigned. He didn't want to be his dog anymore.
Well, Theresa May is beginning to look wise and stable
she's
now.
Looking
she
good.
Was, yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, could she come back?
Yeah, she could if they voted her in. Absolutely.
She's still sitting there, you know.
Yeah. And of course, yeah, she's still a member of Parliament. And we are now 1 month away from the date that Boris said we get out of
October 31st.
EU, no matter what.
I don't think it's ever
going to
happen. I really don't think it's ever going to happen.
Legal and political analysts had speculated that the court, which has historically avoided politics, might decide that it had no authority to rule on the prime minister's actions or might arrive at a mixed judgment. Instead, it made a landmark decision to intervene in a fierce clash between Mr. Johnson and Parliament and delivered a resounding defeat for the prime minister and an unequivocal victory to his critics. So now the question is what happens and whether we assume he goes back and tries to
form
a new government.
And how will that go?
Yeah, I mean,
if he wasn't able to do it before this ruling, how could he possibly do it now?
I mean, he's lied to all of those folks.
He's also saying this morning when he was speaking at the to the press at the UN, saying that he would also think about suspending Parliament again.
So another pierogi?
Yeah, good luck with that.
You know, I mean, they're all pierogi trying too? To be strongmen and autocrats, and I'm sorry, but democracy is stronger than that.
He has called Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the opposition Labour Party, said the court had documented a contempt for democracy and an abuse of power by Mr. Johnson, adding that he would demand that Parliament is recalled. At the party's annual conference, Mr. Corbyn was scheduled to give his big speech on Wednesday, but it will take place on Tuesday instead. He called on the prime minister to consider his position an accepted polite way in Britain of telling him to resign.
And, of course, Corbyn is not exactly Mr. Popularity.
No, he's not. He's a raving anti-Semite. And it would be not great for him to end up being prime minister. But
all right.
Maybe Andrew Cuomo could go over to the U.K. and be the white knight.
He just doesn't have the accent, you know, the Queen's accent. It's a Queen's accent.
He has an accent.
Queen's accent.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has an accent.
Just not the right Queen's accent. That's
funny. And while we're on this subject, usual Shartakian apology. It was a little joke before about, you know, you had to go to a private school to know the difference between, you know.
Between what and what?
A noun and a verb.
A noun and a verb. Okay.
Thank you, JP.
So I do. It was a little joke. That's all. It didn't mean anything.
Well, those of us who went to public school,
including me, are not
offended. Yeah. So it's okay.
The United Nations Climate Action Summit on Monday was meant to highlight concrete promises by presidents, prime ministers, and corporate executives to wean the global economy from fossil fuels to avoid the worst effects of global warming. But despite the protests in the streets, China on Monday made no new promises to take stronger climate action. The United States, having vowed to pull out of the Paris Agreement, the pact among nations to jointly fight climate change, said nothing at all. 14 minutes, was that the time that he was in the actually at the meeting, I believe? A host of countries made only incremental promises. The contrast between the slow pace of action and the urgency of the problem was underscored by the Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, 16 years old, who excoriated world leaders for their business-as-usual approach. The eyes of all future generations are upon you, she said, her voice quavering with rage. If you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you. And then the president took a swipe at her on Twitter this morning.
Yeah, she's quite remarkable. A 16-year-old with that poise addresses an august body of world leaders in a foreign language, let me point out.
Right. It was not her native language.
Right. And did so with emotion and intelligence. And I said, oh, wow, this will unite people. And then I look at all my Neanderthal Trump-supporting friends on Facebook, and it's like, oh, she's an idiot. Go home. And then Trump follows through.
What did he say? I didn't...
He was snarky. He just said that basically she seems...
A snotty kid.
Something about, good, you know, she seems like she has a bright future because she's certainly not an angry person who will...
Oh, yeah, like him. Yeah, it's another one of deflecting.
But, no, to me, I think it's already... Even before, as I read her words and heard her words, and they were so compelling, that the right wing would immediately dismiss it the way they dismissed the students
the
in Florida,
kids.
Parkland kids, yeah. and mm-hmm. said they're, you know, that they were just actors and that she wasn't truly representative. But, you know, something is going on here. There's a young generation who's looking at the way we handle things and rejecting it. And, you know, pretty soon they're going to be the majority and they're going to have control over what happens in our world. And I hope they do a better job.
Maybe they'll indict Trump.
Yeah. They'll get beyond that. I mean, they have more important things to do, like stem the fire of the environmental crisis or something like that.
We should note that the president is speaking to the United Nations right now.
He's frowning on the TV, you know, as he speaks.
He's got that look of, you people are idiots, and you have to listen to me.
He's admitted, by the way, that he did stop the payments to Ukraine and did it for a very good reason.
Which was?
Excellent. Because he wants other countries to pay for their defense by the U.S.
Right. We heard from Joe, who wanted us to know that Professor Lawrence Tribe has argued that the Senate retains a clear constitutional duty, in quotes, to proceed with the trial. And it's a much longer letter, but I must say... We know that Tribe has always been critical of Trump. But Alan, they had
a clear duty to have the hearing to advise and consent on Merrick Garland. How'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly.
So Tribe is wrong.
Did they have a trial for Bill Clinton?
What'd you say?
Did they have a trial for Bill Clinton in the Senate?
Yes. Yeah, they did.
And they voted on it, up or down.
Yep, up and
they
down.
They did, but that doesn't mean these guys are going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
We have time for one more story, and let me see. I want to go back to We talked about the court.
What about Israel?
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
You brought it up.
Well, I did.
The question was, did Netanyahu, did he win? Do we know yet?
Well, no, we don't know. We do know that President Rivlin, who has to call, has to ask somebody to form a government, is trying to get some kind of cooperative agreement between the two parties so that they will come together. Now, I think that Netanyahu can't afford not to be prime minister. Because if they
he could go to jail too,
him out, he goes to jail. So, or he could possibly go to jail. So it doesn't look to me like this is going to be a productive negotiation, because his opponent Gantz is saying that he won't serve with Netanyahu as the prime minister. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one. And we see that Trump is already
distancing himself, getting ready for he's kind of pushing Netanyahu.
Yeah, I didn't
aside.
Like him to begin with. Is what I'm sure he'll say.
Yeah,
he was a bad prime minister.
Right. So, how long will this deadlock continue?
It could go on forever. It really could.
Well, it could be another election. Now, my premise, and this is a Shartakian guess for whatever it's worth, is that if there is a third election, Netanyahu will lose badly.
Yeah.
Because I think what's happened is that the Israeli voter is getting used to the fact that Netanyahu looks like he's out. He's done. So I think it'll prove to be the case.
So, like, basically you keep chipping away at the support.
Well, I think it's done now. There's a concept that we can do without Netanyahu now, the first time.
Rosemary?
I don't know. I think Alan, what Alan says sounds right. Netanyahu has so much at stake. I think it's going to drag out, and I'm not calling shots yet. It could go either way. Right. I said that all along. So close.
Right. It could be close, but I do think that the issue was a public one, which was the only way we can protect ourselves from the Arabs is by having this
that was his
strong
pitch.
Man.
That was his pitch.
Yeah, that was the pitch, and it was working. Now I think it's beginning not to work for two reasons. One, the opponent is every bit as much of a nationalist as Netanyahu is, and number two, that the Arab population in Israel, and I think it's very risky for them, is suggesting that we want Netanyahu out of there, and we are going to cast our votes. Now, you know, you knew what happened in the past when an Arab leader has gone away from the outside Arabs. They've been assassinated.
Right.
And that is very risky here. But this, I think, is a very positive move that the Arab list is coming out against Netanyahu.
And can I say, I think Trump had something to do with this, too. It's like they're seeing now, the Palestinians are seeing they have nothing to lose. It's not going to be a two-state solution. America's not helping them. The French are powerless. They're on their own.
Let's take, we're going to end it there. We'll be back tomorrow. More show in a minute. My thanks to Alan. Alan.
Lockbox reminder. None of this is possible. If you love this panel and you tell me all the time that you do, then this is the time to say, where else can we get something like we're having at WAMC? And by the way, I was just out front. The money is coming in. So if you can add something to it, we could do it in a day or two. We could be at that $500,000 mark. And we love you and we trust you more than anything else. Do what you can.
WAMC.org. We'll be back right after this.